And now, live from the Eagle Newsroom in Bryan, it's Aggie Nation, covering Aggie football since the first game in 1894 and every game since. Talking all things A&M and all the pro and high school sports you want to hear. Aggie Nation on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Friday's show. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, is brought to you by MSC Opus. Man, they got a whole new show coming up. Whole new season coming up with a lot of shows. Hey, we're off to a good start. Now you took me 40 seconds to make a mistake. Wow. I still doesn't beat my record, so got to keep trying. But MSC Opus will have a new season. They got a lot of stuff going on. We'll have a lot of stuff going on, and I know you'll want to go ahead and check that out and go to some of those things. So visit mscopus.org. You've got Cease behind the mic today. You've got riding first mic with me. I guess it'd be second mic or off mic, Robert Primo. We're glad you joined us. And we'll see afterwards if you're glad you did join us. So
no, they're glad. They're glad we're here, because us being here means Aggies in those semifinals.
Yeah, it was the deal here, folks.
That's a good reason.
We're going to have a short show if Vanderbilt beat A&M yesterday in baseball. Turns out the Aggies, and of course everybody's still riding that high, the Aggies took out Vanderbilt pretty impressively yesterday, 6-1. So that means Aggies off. Robert and Robert work a full show, and that's okay, because like I said, there's no gray skies in college, Bryan College Station today, because the Aggie baseball team just sewed up a national seed yesterday. They're into the semifinals. There's only going to be four teams left after today. Aggies are one of them in the SEC, so everything's great. You want to join us, which I know you do, you can at 693-1150, pound 1150, or you can text us at 229-1939. I've read some of the texts from Louis' show. You guys are already off and running today, so that's a great way to be. A few Mark Turgeon references, and I wasn't going to talk about that, but when that odds came out yesterday that now they're favored to win the national championship, and I just laughed. When's the last time Maryland won the national championship? Come on. Boveda might want to go ahead and
How heavily favored are they?
Just like 9-1. They're just one ahead of like Duke and Kansas.
They're 10-1.
Yeah, 10-1.
Okay.
And
so slightly favored.
And I always have to laugh is, don't pick anybody to win a championship that hasn't won one. I hate to say it, but
yeah, no, that was always my theory with football.
Yeah, why would you pick New York Jets to win the Super Bowl right now?
And right.
They have won one, trust me, but it's been a while since 69 or whatever it was. But you just can't do that. That'd be like picking A&M men's basketball team to win the national championship next year.
Do you know, I'm looking.
50-1 A&M.
No, I'm at, well, A&M's 50-1. About how far down the list? Maybe 30s?
Oh, that was 40s. In the 30s.
Yeah.
If you want to give me $5, I'll put $5 down for you.
Well, do you know what Maryland did this last year? How far did they go?
Round of 32, and that's once again.
Oh, they only won one.
I did look that
game
up. And here's the guy.
Golly, that's weird.
Turgeon was in a hot seat going in, and I know I started off on a tangent, but I just saw that, and I kind of laugh. And they did wonders in the Big Ten. They had a better season than I thought they would. But yet, when I had a laugh, is his three previous seasons, he lost more games every one of those years than he did in his worst season at A&M.
Right.
So there was a lot of pressure on him, and he won. I will be interested to see how Maryland handles. I blogged about this, actually. I want to see how Maryland handles the pressure, because it's one thing to be out there, be one of the guys. But when people start talking national championship, that go ahead and you step it up a little bit. We'll see how you wear that. And that's why Turgeon wanted to go there. He wanted to get away from A&M because A&M was never going to be a basketball power. If I covered him a little bit, obviously, when he's here doing the columns, what have you. He was a guy that had this – I don't want to say he did a – characterize his stay here – he was never going to be here long-term, and I always have a problem when you're using a place as a stepping stone. It's very hard to judge how you do things, because from the start, you knew he wasn't going to be here. If he's going to be bad, he's going to be fired. If he's going to be good, he's going to move on, because he was going to go first time a great job offered him, and
right,
came, and he went. And I don't know how I got off on that best tangent to start out with, but that's okay. But anyway, that's a long way getting around. Show today, what do we got going on? We're going to talk A&M tennis. We're going to talk a lot of SEC baseball. Second hour, Rich Kroom. Lordy, we could talk 15 minutes about Rich when he's on the road. Rich's computer is broke. If anybody's got a spare computer and they're going to Hoover tomorrow, let me know, and we'll send a Neagle computer with you so that Rich doesn't have to go ahead and send it in via telegraph.
Or if you're already in Hoover and you have a spare laptop.
And you're listening online.
I don't know what hotel he's at today, but you can go to the press box tomorrow. Look for the guy that looks the most lost, who has nothing in front of him on his desk. And
you never seen Rich?
Maybe he can rent that.
It looks like My Favorite Martian. If you ever watched that series way back in the 60s? And he'll be the guy selling peanuts today out there at the Met, making a little bit extra money while he's in town. So go up and tell him you can help him out as well. This is an unusual show, and the fact is we were off the air on Wednesday and Thursday for baseball. And so now this will be the weekend show to get us gone. Memorial Day weekend, we kind of kick it off. And here at the Eagle, they're kicking off the Memorial Day weekend with a ping pong tournament between all departments, along with the publisher, had a cookout today. So my question to you, and start out with you, Primo, Did your family do anything special on Memorial Day weekend?
You know, no, because it was all, for me growing up, Memorial Day weekend was already summer, so we were already out of school.
Okay.
And it was just another summer day for me growing up. There have been times though since I entered the working world where I made a point to actually get Memorial. You know, a lot of times we don't take the holiday. We take the holiday when we can.
Correct.
Later on.
Correct.
Memorial Day has been a day I've taken off because some of my friends have Memorial Day off, and so it's one of the Mondays that it's easy for me to hook up with them and do stuff. But no, it was, you know, in the school is still in, right?
Oh, yeah.
See, so these kids have Memorial Day off, I assume. So now it's I don't know what we would have done. We might have actually done some things. I would have begged parents to take me to the Astrodome or something, you know, growing up. But I'm almost certain we were already out of school most years when Memorial Day came around. So I probably messed around outdoors just playing.
We were not out of school, I want to say, but I grew up north. But I always thought of Memorial Day was, my dad was a blue-collar worker. It was really the first holiday of the year for him. So, in other words, Memorial Day was a day to sit around the house and do nothing.
Right.
And typically, we had a picnic for all the family. You'd come to the house and
your house or some
do
yours.
Our house, yeah. Do burgers and hot dogs at supper, and just do a little bit of nothing. Whereas today, I understand people have a little bit more Memorial Day weekend. And then, of course, being I feel in a college town. Memorial Day weekend always means now NCAA tournament time or close to it. So with A&M,
sure.
Once I moved here, Memorial Day weekend takes on a different meaning. And I just wondered if everybody else had any other Memorial Day weekend traditions. I think more or less this is a good potato salad, macaroni salad, hot dogs, hamburgers type of weekend. Baseball, whether you're Major League Baseball style or collegiate baseball style, I just think it's that kind of weekend. Now, I might be wrong, but that's kind of what I feel Memorial Day weekend is. And we got the Astros playing as well as they are, and the Aggies are playing as well as they are. Not a bad way to do Memorial Day weekend when you consider that A&M tomorrow, if the seedings hold, they'll play Vanderbilt again.
Right.
Get by that, you probably play LSU or Florida. So pretty good weekend to sit around and watch baseball. And I will admit, as the spring has approached summer, SEC Network is great when events are on because you do get to see a lot of diamond sports. The other night at 1:20 in the morning, I was sitting reading the computer while I was watching Arkansas play Florida, and I'm laughing. 1:20 in the morning, I'm watching a baseball game, and I assure you, more people are watching the game live on TV by far than there are only a handful of people there. And I had a laugh because they went around showing people that were sleeping. And because Arkansas was losing, then when Arkansas came back, they showed those same people awake, up and at them. But back-to-back nights, I watched a hockey game basically at 1 o'clock in the morning when that Anaheim Duck game went three periods, and then the SEC. So late-night live sporting events, you cannot beat it. And a lot of fun with the SEC Network.
This baseball tournament is exactly what it's what the SEC Network is best built for.
Well,
for sure.
Well, you got
because this stuff used to not be. I mean, you might catch some of this on TV, but you wouldn't catch all of it. Now you can. Now, if you got nothing better to do and you want to watch college baseball, you've got. I mean, it's right there all the time.
And you've got passionate programs when it comes to baseball.
Oh, A&M, gosh.
Florida, LSU,
for
Arkansas,
sure.
And Ole Miss, Mississippi State. They're not in it right now, but you're talking about teams that love their baseball. Yeah, but what a place to have it. Hoover, Alabama. I don't think of Alabama as being a baseball hotbed. But once again, it's in the South.
It's in the South. The one time I've been to Alabama to stay, I actually stayed with a family who, it was an older lady who was hosting me and a friend, and her son, who was probably 20, he played baseball, just summer baseball, pickup baseball. In like a summer league, and obviously Crimson Tide football is the big thing, and the Auburn Tigers and their football team's the big thing. But I don't know that baseball's too far behind in that state.
Yeah, and what I do like about the tournament, and I have not seen a game there, but they have their they have media function there when you go down to SEC Media Days, which I've had the fortune to go to 3 times, and looking for number 4. The park is very reminiscent of being up at Omaha. So the teams that go there, it does prepare you if you go to Omaha. There's not a lot of home runs. Now, you can't hit it out. We saw yesterday Alomon and Burke. And when you get a fastball down the pipe and the ball now and the core bats, you can hit it out, which wasn't the case last year. But still, when you look at the final analysis, I think each team had like seven. One team had 7 hits, one team had 4 or 5 hits. Hits are hard to come by. With the wind down there, and it's such a big park, and that's the way it's going to be if you get to Omaha. And let's be honest, the SEC always expects to get at least 2 teams to Omaha, if not 3. So it's a pretty good deal. A&M, once again, will not play tomorrow. They're awaiting the winner between Vanderbilt and Alabama. They play today. We'll have Rich on a little bit later in the second hour. Another thing watching late night the last couple nights, and I've never talked about it on the air, and I wrote down that I'm going to do this. I would imagine you watch a little late-night TV. I know you're more of a book person. Maybe you don't when you leave here, if you ever put the old TV on when you go home. If you ever ordered one of those things when you're watching TV, like last night they were engraving for $10.98. If you act quickly, you can get 2 sets of engravings, not 3, and they have the...
On something? On what?
On any late-night commercial.
No,
on
but
TV.
I'm saying what the engraving. Engraving on what?
An engraving deal that you can engrave everything you can
tool.
You could buy a tool.
I gotcha.
And a lot of times they'll have hoses, they'll have lights. Have you ever ordered anything?
I want to say I have not.
Well,
I think, but I want to say my family got Ginsu knives.
Well,
of all things.
A lot of people have to order them because those commercials are on one after another.
They are.
I watched TV last night late. I want to say for 2 hours, and I want to say there was 4 or 5 of those things came on. And nationwide advertising is not cheap.
Right.
And if you're selling something for $10.99, $9.99, and I'm thinking, how many people out there are ordering these things, but I've never ordered? Because, my wife and I will sit there and they'll go, oh, that'd be great to get for the dogs.
Right.
That'd be great to get for grandma.
They have
but we never do.
Right. They really make that stuff look like it would help
but
out.
Someone's buying it. Maybe some of the listeners. Have you ever bought anything late at night for that $9.99? And it was a good deal or a bad deal. I just was always interested to see, has anybody ever bought those?
I'm almost sure. If we didn't buy Ginsu knives, we inherited them from somebody. And I remember growing up, those were one of the first items that I can think of. Now, I know people have been selling stuff on TV for years and years and years, but it seems like the telemercial or the infomercial became, like the Ginsu knife was one that they just, I must have seen that commercial, I don't know, 1,000 times growing up. But no, personally, I haven't. I've bought a lot of dumb things.
There you go.
But not off of TV.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to switch gears. Let's talk a little bit about A&M's going to, looks at a period, according to a report, A&M will be adding a transfer running back. When we come back.
Hello, and thanks for listening to the Bible Minute. The Bible Minute is brought to you by the BCS Church of Christ, located on Highway 30. You can find out more about the BCS Church of Christ by visiting www.bcschurchofchrist.com. The old tongue can get us in trouble if we aren't careful. James chapter 3 in the New Testament is an excellent treatise on the need for us to control our tongues, that is, our speech. Likewise, Proverbs in the Old Testament is another great book that deals much with controlling what we say. Resolve today to study your Bible about the tongue or speech, and be aware of the good or evil you can do with it. You have been listening to the Bible Minute. The Bible Minute is brought to you as a work of the BCS Church of Christ. Learn more about the BCS Church of Christ, located on Highway 30 in College Station, Texas, at our website, www.bcschurchofchrist.com. That is, bcschurchofchrist.com. We invite you to come study and learn with us. Thanks for listening.
Hello, it's the Toyota Time sales event. This is Jan.
Have I missed the deals? Oh, one sec.
Fastball, strike one.
I'm back.
No, in fact, during Toyota Time, we have 0% APR financing as well as leasing deals on a great selection of your favorite models.
I was going to come down earlier, but just my luck. Extra innings. Hold on.
Here's the pitch. Swag on and foul away.
How's your selection?
Great. We have an all-star lineup of reliable Toyotas led by the bold 2015 Camry and the power-hitting Tundra. And if you're thinking MPG, Corolla and Prius have the bases covered.
There's a high drive. Deep left. It's good.
I'm on my way.
Oh, but you're still on the air.
You take over.
What? What a game, folks. Now let's hear a word from our sponsor.
The Toyota Time sales event ends June 1st. Hurry in today. Get 0 for 60 plus $1,500 on a new 2015 Tundra Crew Max Special Edition for a savings over $6,000. Visit gstoffers.com for details. Offers available in select states and 6115. Not all customers will qualify. See your participating dealer for details. Sale ends June 1st. Toyota, let's go places.
At Schlitterbahn, there's so much for my family to do. We need a checklist. Miles of slides, rivers, and waves? Check. Plus, Schlitterbahn welcomes picnics and has free parking and tubes. Estimated savings of $100? Check. We also love how we can float the day away and enjoy so much family fun together. Packing our summer with amazing memories? Definitely check. Hold on to every moment at Schlitterbahn.
Get discounted tickets and plan your stay at Schlitterbahn.com.
Copy Bridge is an Aggieland tradition, serving their mouth-watering food for over 20 years to the folks of the Brazos Valley. And they want to invite you to enjoy a burger that you've come to know and love, which has been named Best of the Brazos for over a decade. And enjoy their award-winning goodness with $1.75 drafts all day, every Wednesday at both locations. Copy Bridge, serving Aggieland the best big burger in town for over two decades on Harvey and Welburn, both in College Station.
You're listening to The Zone FM 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150.
Okay, welcome back to Aggie Nation. Powered by the Eagle. You've got Robert Cessna along with Robert Primo. It's been a while since I've been sitting in the main chair, and I panic. So I take the headset off, and I come back, and Primo's talking.
Yeah, me and the producer
about Primo's golf game. Primo's playing a lot of good golf lately. He's down to a 3 handicap, and I thought he was talking to me, and I go, my gosh, we're on the air, and then they tell me we're not on the air, and just
keep you on your toes.
If you and Hunter want to keep talking about that.
Sean, isn't it?
Yeah, and it'd be nice if I got his name right, too. That always helps, too. But Sean or Hunter, another interchangeable when it comes to Cease. Everybody's
interchangeable. Well, we don't see them, so they're all just a voice, right?
So how's Sean's golf game? Is it any better than Hunter's?
I don't know if he plays.
I don't know if he plays.
You know what we'll do next break? We'll mess with your mind again, and we'll talk some more about it.
Oh, yeah. That it won't take much to mess with my brain these days. Holy cow.
Aggie's got a running back, huh?
Yeah, here
is
we
that
go.
What we're talking
yeah,
about
since
here?
We promo. Way to go, Primo. See, Primo's done this before, too. According to Dig'em 24/7, Keith Ford, who had earlier announced in March that he was transferring from Oklahoma, he quoting Dig'em 24/7 through Ford, what he said, "I'm going to Aggieland. It feels great. What really helped me come to my decision was that I sat down with Coach Sumlin. It didn't sound like he was rehearsed or anything. He was just talking to me man-to-man and laid out his expectations for me. He also wanted me to believe in him, and I heard all of that. I was like, yeah, I'm coming here. Can't wait to get up there, end quotes. And, of course, I would say it would be down here, but that's nevertheless. A&M's got him a transfer running back. Now, Keith Ford will have to set out a year. Ford, you know, announced 9 days. He was leaving 9 days ago. He's leaving Norman after a spring suspension over academic and team rules violations. You know, and it goes on, the story. You know, Brandon Williams transferred back. I mean, he didn't transfer back. He was from Royal. A lot of people thought he might go to A&M. He goes to Oklahoma, goes up there. Looks like he's going to have a great career. Then he transfers out. He sets in. I would say, I don't know if Brandon Williams has really lived up to his expectations yet, to what he was coming out of high school. Now Keith Ford, he was not going to be the main guy up at Oklahoma anyway. He's got 2 years of eligibility left. I don't know. Transfers to me, I know a lot of people get excited. It's the off season, and what is interesting, if you read on the story on 24/7, kind of, you know, I hate to, you know, quote two parties, but Ford saying through Brandon Williams, he likes what A&M's doing for their players academically and blah, blah, blah. I will say this, reading the stories, the fact that Williams is not the guy here, not the main guy, because right now going this season, I'd have to say that is Trey Carson is the man. But for Williams to say great things about A&M, he's not the guy. He came in here, obviously he's found a home. He's not, maybe he expects this year to be the key guy. But what Brandon Williams said was very encouraging for the A&M program. If you're out there selling your program, and there's always going to be transfers, there's always going to be disgruntled guys. And the dynamics, I always think this is the second guy to transfer now. Bob Stoops and Kevin Sumlin are really good friends. So you would think, even though Sumlin can't talk right now, I don't think the way that works until he saw it, the papers are signed or he comes into class. But you know those guys talked off the record. Call and said, hey, right. Look, Ford's looking to come here, Bob. You got a problem with that? What do I got? And, you know, those guys talk to each other. I mean, so I think bottom line is I would think it's a good deal.
Well, it's a
– for everybody involved.
It's a – you know, it's like a – well, in NFL terms, it's a free agent signing. You know, like if he turns out to be something good, great. You get a year or two out of him, and that's wonderful. But – I think if a fan is excited about this, it's probably because what else are you going to be excited about right now? There's no
exactly.
Aggie football news.
Exactly.
I mean, you're not going to see the guy for over a year, and that's if he can manage to get on the field. I mean, a kid who was suspended for a couple of different violations and had lost his job. I mean, probably they're not going to build their national championship run around Keith Ford, but at the same time, you know, you've got him sitting, you've got an experienced back waiting in the, you know, at the back of the depth chart where, you know, in a year, if you need a guy, because you are going to lose Brandon Williams, and don't they lose one other?
They lose Carson, too.
You're going to lose a couple seniors, so for 2016, it could end up being a good deal.
Trey Williams is already gone.
Right.
So if you're Kevin Sumlin, you're sitting here, okay, I'm going to give a guy a scholarship for 3 years. He's got to sit out a year. He's got to be on scholarship. And then 2 more years. But if I sign a high school kid, more likely I'm so deep, he's going to have to go sit a year anyway. So
right.
It's only a 2-year gamble. It's like adding a quality junior college guy. And I agree with you because I don't know about you guys out there, but I've learned over the years, transfers, come on, they got baggage. And so if you get a little bit out of them, if Keith Ford can come in here in 2 years, when you help you win one or two games that maybe you wouldn't have won without him, it was a scholarship well used.
It's a big deal.
So it's worth the gamble.
And you know Kenny Hill made official today.
Oh.
He is going to TCU.
No, see,
I mean,
that's
I,
why
saw,
I
thought
on.
I saw
I missed that. Okay, well, that's we all expected him
I mean,
to go there.
It's new. It's not really news because
yeah. We
knew. I mean, we said, even though his dad said, well, you know, we haven't picked TCU
haven't
yet.
Picked TCU.
Well, okay, they've picked TCU, I think, is the official
okay.
word.
Why don't you
on
look
Kenny
at
Hill.
That for me so
yeah.
we can do that to double
yeah,
check
Kenny
that
Hill's,
to make sure.
But he's going to TCU.
TCU,
officially.
Well.
Which we, like I said, we knew.
We knew that. And No, well, and no one wishes any ill harm to Kenny Hill.
You hope it works out for him. The, you know, Keith Ford's coming in. It's a running back with some experience. What you were talking about baggage and transfers. What do you think of Kenny Hill? That, if you know, oh, on this side of the aisle.
Well,
like, okay, so what,
well,
you got to think about these transfers in terms of, you know, that there might be a problem other than they just weren't getting playing time. There may be something else.
There's
so
more to
it. Got to worry
now,
about
now,
it a little.
Here's my deal as I get older and get more crunchy or whatever. I'd like to see transfers be a little bit stricter on deals because suddenly everyone's going. And there's more transfers than ever, particularly in basketball.
Well, I was going to ask you that. Do you remember this?
I read a story where, okay, now we're talking about what they like is, okay, kids graduate, they can go ahead and play immediately.
Right.
I read a story where they had the facts where something like less than one out of three guys that graduate and go play basketball get any kind of degree or anything anywhere. In other words, they're just going to play basketball. The bottom line is, but as somebody said, well, they've already done their academics. It's getting to be more and more like free agency. You've got problems, so you just leave your problems behind. You go somewhere else. I don't like it. I think there's got to be some kind. But I also don't like these kids go to these colleges and they commit to a school, they commit to a coach, and the coach leaves.
Right.
So, you know, and I understand it's a two-way street. Then should that kid be there? Because even though running backs coach, the recruiter, or the offensive line coach, he's gone. Should they be able to go? See, you might say I'm two-faced. Then I could see why they got a problem. But you know, we just can't constantly reshuffle the cards. It's almost getting to be like the NFL, where you keep your core and then everybody else changes. And
There's a lot of transfer. It seems like there's more now.
Seems like there's more now than ever before.
But you know, one that worked out, I mean, Daniel House transferring to A&M.
But he got to play immediately.
Well, right. Yeah. For sure, and that may have played a huge role in why it worked out so well.
He could have set out a year anyway, but does it work out well if he sets out a year? I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know, but it definitely did work out and has worked out.
We'll keep this transfer and a couple other things I want to talk about. Good point, because let's talk about, along with the transfer, tie-in APR when we get back.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM. A criminal background check on bikers arrested in Waco after Sunday's shootout reveals some new information.
A review done by the Associated Press reveals many of those bikers now sitting in jail have no criminal backgrounds. Waco police initially said all 170 arrested at the Twin Peaks belong to criminal biker gangs. However, AP learned more than 115 out of those 170 have never been convicted of a crime in Texas. The Texas DPS says its database may contain a few errors, though. Those bikers still face charges of engaging in organized crime, and their individual bonds are still set at $1 million apiece. Kristen Weissel, TSN News.
Current and retired employees of the Texas A&M system who are enrolled in one of the three health insurance programs have a new medical benefit. Chancellor John Sharp says the Houston-based Second MD provides 24/7 access by phone or video conference to more than 300 nationally recognized and board-certified medical specialists.
Average folks like us are going to be able to connect to the very best physicians that exist on planet Earth, and that has never happened before.
Sharp says the system is picking up the $1.3 million cost. Texas employers added a net 1,200 jobs in April, hiring workers in 7 of 11 major industries, but the Texas Workforce Commission report shows 8,300 oil and gas jobs were lost last month.
You know, fortunately, the diversity of the state's economy and the strength of our Texas employers, it certainly has helped to minimize the impact from those job losses.
Workforce Commissioner Hope Andrade says the state unemployment rate remained steady at 4.2% last month, the lowest level since July 2007. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 The Zone.
Hello, it's the Toyota Time Sales Event. This is Jan.
Have I missed the deals? Oh, one sec.
Fastball, strike one.
I'm back.
No, in fact, during Toyota Time, we have 0% APR financing as well as leasing deals on a great selection of your favorite models.
I was going to come down earlier, but just my luck. Extra innings. Hold on.
Here's the pitch. Swagger on and foul away.
How's your selection?
Great. We have an all-star lineup of reliable Toyotas led by the bold 2015 Camry and the power-hitting Tundra. And if you're thinking MPG, Corolla and Prius have the bases covered.
There's a high drive. Deep left. It's good!
I'm on my way.
Oh, but you're still on the air.
You take over.
What? What a game, folks. Now let's hear a word from our sponsor.
The Toyota Time sales event ends June 1st. Hurry in today. Lease the bold 2015 Camry LE for only $199 a month for 24 months with $19.99 due at signing. Visit gstoffers.com for details. Offers available in select states and 6115. Not all customers will qualify. See your participating dealer for details. Sale ends June 1st. Toyota, let's go places.
Rattlers always has great specials, and May is no exception. This month, grab some healthy snacks with David's Sunflower Seeds in the 5.25-ounce bag, two for only $2.22. In a hurry for lunch? Then mix and match a fountain drink hot dog and nachos, two for only $2, with your registered Rattlers reward card. And if it's been a long, tough, and hot day, after work, stop in for some great beer specials, like 18 packs of Heineken, Corona, and Dos Equis, only $19.99, and 18 packs of Bud, Miller, and Coors, only $15.99. Rattlers, friendly, clean, Texan. Get ready. It's almost time to cast your vote for Best of the Brazos Valley. Voting starts Monday, June 1st, as you decide the best in food, services, and places in the Brazos Valley. Keep listening for more information about how you can vote for your favorites. Thanks in part to our sponsors, Pride Cleaners, Prosperity Bank, RE/MAX Bryan College Station, and Rollo Insurance. Voting begins Monday, June 1st, for the 15th annual Best of the Brazos Valley, celebrating everything excellent in the Brazos Valley since 2000.
Listen to The Zone, 102.7 in Sports Radio 1150 on your smartphone, tablet, or PC. Visit RadioAggieLand.com.
Ow! Oh! Woo! Yeah. I'm back!
Hey, welcome back. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. You've got Robert Cessna sitting alongside me today is Robert Primo. We're so glad you could join us for a Friday. You're talking a little transfers now. I would like to add a little academics into that. I did mention that Kenny Hill is made official. And as Primo said, somehow I was on the internet this morning and I missed that. But as most people have written, which is true, Kenny Hill said, well, we've known for 5 months. He's gone to TCU. What a lot of people maybe didn't know, Keith Ford now says he'll transfer from Oklahoma to A&M. The running back will set out 2 years. Don't know what your philosophy is on transfers and what have you, but tying that into them, kind of going under the radar, we did get a couple texts. Transfers can have baggage, but every once in a while you'll get a Quentin Corriott, an Albert Connell, or an Aaron Glenn. The texter said, and I also say, things have changed a lot with transfers, though, since the time those guys played. Because I think transfers has changed a lot in the last decade, the way people come and go.
Were those all JUCO instances?
I know Connell was, and I was trying to think about Aaron Glenn.
I didn't realize Aaron Glenn wasn't full-time Aggie. I would have got that wrong.
That's what I was trying to think, too, before.
Actually, I wouldn't have guessed that about Corriott either. But
I think Corriott, I think Corriott.
Oh, Navarro, yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Aaron Glenn went to Navarro.
Yeah, he sure did. So, like I said, things have changed. But I don't consider a junior college the same deal as a transfer. I'm talking, when you talk about transfers, and let me, because Texas are coming in, someone has said Josh Reynolds. I consider a junior college transfer different than a transfer a la Kenny Hill or Keith Ford that have already gone to a four-year school and then transfer out. But thank you. That was a good text. I mean, where would A&M be without Josh Reynolds? Hey, our people are paying attention out here. That's one thing that you really love. But, yeah. So, how about Corriott?
I don't see him coming from anywhere but A&M. So, either
Corriott,
the internet is wrong.
So whoever transferred there, 512. So, that's two out of three. Connell did transfer. Glenn transferred. Corriott did not transfer, according to our Wikipedia.
He was born in the Virgin Islands.
Yeah. But so Josh Reynolds definitely transferred his. But JC transfers to me are a different animal. But I also wanted to tie in with that while we're talking about it.
Did you say APR?
APR, thank you. Primo probably remembers this. Now, APR has been around, I believe it, this is maybe the sixth year for it. And I can remember when APR first came out. Man, it was, we did stories and everybody was all over them. Everybody said this is going to be downfall. Some people said it was going to be downfall of college athletics. The requirements were too high. They were out to get black universities, this new rule. All kind of things came out. But now, lo and behold, here we are 6 years later. And I would say that the presidents and whoever was in charge of this, APR has done what it set out to do, because academics everywhere has gone up. And the reason I say this, they told everybody this week who get the top 10%. So they sent out, like, they recognized, they honored more than 1,100 Division I sports teams that were tops in the classrooms. Now, the APR for everyone will be released next week, and they've done it this way before. Now, the good news is, and bad news is, I think the universities have all their results right now. They can make them known if they want to. I believe that's the case. But what has happened, A&M even lost parts of scholarships at times for right. men's basketball, and I think there was another sport. But that's happened to a lot of schools. But now, 6 years later, APR is basically just a couple graphs in the paper, because most schools, almost all schools, have taken care of business.
Right.
Now, some were hit hard. Tech was hit hard once.
Right. It hasn't been much of an issue here.
Yeah.
Kind of a probationary status thing, I think, for a couple programs.
And so I would say there's where things work in the long run. You talk about, at first, I can remember a lot of people complaining. And Bill Byrne, if I remember right, he said, well, we'll just take care of it. We'll adjust it and go on. They took their I want to say they took their penalty early
right.
in men's basketball, and they got right back. And since then, men's basketball has been really high scored, except Kennedy had a little problem there taking over, because there was some problems. But I'm saying when that original scholarship, or part of a scholarship that they lost, so that was a good situation. So it'll be interesting to see A&M's APR scores when they're announced this week. That's coming up. Staying with the transfers, Trey Carson was a transfer. True, came from Oregon. Brandon Williams, and like I said, Brandon Williams, I would right now say he had mild success. He still hasn't had the kind of success everyone thought he would coming out of Royal.
The thing about those guys, though, is when we're talking about baggage, they haven't had any problems, right, in terms of...
No.
I mean, they've just
Carson
been football players.
Carson should be the man right now.
Right.
And Brandon Williams, everyone's saying, is going to have a breakout year this year. So let's wait and see. So he's got another year.
They're definitely examples of guys who can at least come into the program and contribute.
And Trey Carson has done great since he left Oregon.
Right.
And so... Typically, and this just cease speaking, most times when I see a transfer from one four-year school to another, a la Kenny Hill, right now you'd say there's baggage. And you would say, well, Sustin, there's no baggage when Matt Jokel left here after he graduated and went up there.
Not really.
But right. The baggage was he couldn't play.
Well,
it depends on how you define baggage. So someone's transferring for a reason. You don't transfer because life is all good.
I was really holding out hope Kenny Hill would go over to Huntsville, but
Sam Houston State
didn't get that pulled off.
Anyway, it's just me speaking. I would like to see them change some of the rules with transfers. And I understand it's tough because of the reasons we've already outlined. Coaches leave, can't penalize the kids. You graduate, you take all you do what you're supposed to, shouldn't you get a break? And if you graduate able to go a la a Russell Wilson or someone like that. So I understand there's a lot. And I had a laugh because the ACC had their spring meetings already. I read all those because people know I read the Post-Gazette every day. I'm a big Pittsburgh guy. And they basically quit. You know what? They said ACC was split. Basically, the coaches were split 50-50. There's everybody, you know, is out to see what's best for them or how they feel. Right. There's no easy answer when it comes to transfer. Throwing something in humorous while we're doing this. I was talking about the infomercial. Someone, our old Newbaum, he's one of our steady ones. If I leave this chair and come back, he's always going to be here. He said he always remembers when he was a kid. His children needed him to feed them or whatever, late night, he always noticed that what was on every channel he thought was Girls Gone Wild. And I will say they have
luckily they're gone.
You're right. That's a good one, Newbomb. That was on
that
all the time.
It would never go away.
I'm glad that one would go away. What will go away are conversations now on info commercials and transfers for right now, because when you come back, we're going to have Scott Clendenin on, and we're going to talk a little college baseball when we come back.
Here's Brad Beard of Intercon.
When we started Intercon in early 1991, we were well aware that we would be competing with some companies that use unscrupulous techniques to make a quick sale, such as bait and switch, or 40% off if you commit today, or misleading, incomplete quotes. Intercon's practice is to be completely honest and encourage prospective customers to talk to our former customers. We've encouraged customers to get multiple quotes. We are confident and proud of our value proposition for windows, glass, and solar screens. We never want anyone to rush into a decision they will regret in the future. Just remember, warranties are only as good as the people who provide them and are servicing the area when situations arise. This is our home and only marketplace, and we will protect our home turf. You've probably heard the saying, the buck stops here, and that is with me, Brad Beard, president and co-owner of Intercon LLC.
Whether you have new construction or an existing home, let the fine folks from Intercon help your home energy efficiency year-round. Call Brad Beard of Intercon today at 823-3639. That's 823-3639.
Copy Bridge is an Aggieland tradition, serving their mouth-watering food for over 20 years to the folks of the Brazos Valley. And they want to invite you to enjoy a burger that you've come to know and love, which has been named Best of the Brazos for over a decade. And enjoy their award-winning goodness with $1.75 drafts all day, every Wednesday at both locations. Copy Bridge, serving Aggieland the best big burger in town for over two decades. On Harvey and Welburn, both in College Station.
Whether at work or play, your trucks and equipment take a beating every day. Make them last with Rhino Lining Protective Coatings. If you're investing in a new truck or just looking to add life to your existing truck, trailer, RV, and equipment, Rhino Linings is a proven solution. The new Rhino Extreme Coating offers superior resistance against chemical, rust, and corrosion, as well as durable impact resistance to withstand those heavy loads. If you want an industrial-strength truck bed liner, go extreme. Get yours today at Texas Custom Outfitters on Highway 6 in Navasota. Call for more info, 936-870-3009.
Get ready. It's almost time to cast your vote for Best of the Brazos Valley. Voting starts Monday, June 1st, as you decide the best in food, services, and places in the Brazos Valley. Keep listening for more information about how you can vote for your favorites. Thanks in part to our sponsors, Starfire, Texas Rose Boutique, Texas Trading Post, The Chocolate Gallery, and Thunder Elite. Voting begins Monday, June 1st, for the 15th annual Best of the Brazos Valley, celebrating everything excellent in the Brazos Valley since 2000.
The final Texas two-step of our PGA State swing lands in Fort Worth for the Colonial and Las Colinas for the Nelson. Tune in for all the action with Robert Streb, Patrick Lewis, and the rest of the stars of the PGA Tour. Our golf coverage brought to you by Oliver Brothers Transmissions. We'll use all the golf lingo like, he got all of that one, and this putt will break to his left. You just don't get that kind of stuff on the radio anymore. So keep it tuned right here to Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Okay, welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. You've got Cease behind the main mic and going ahead and closing out Robert, and Robert Primo is alongside me. Now we bring in collegiate baseball expert Scott Clendenin to talk a little collegiate baseball, because it is hopping right now after that effort by the Aggies yesterday. Scott, how are we doing?
I'm doing great, Cease.
Let's get right to it. Matt Kent was just awesome yesterday, the way he could change speeds, his fastball, locate. What happened to him? Why do you feel that he disappeared for a month or so? Because yesterday he looked like he should be an All-American.
Well, I think that, this is the most he had ever pitched in a season. I think that had a little bit to do with it. I also think that, a couple weeks ago when they took him out of the rotation, he pitched the last game against LSU. Then he pitched against Texas State on the weekend and got two saves against Tennessee. And I really thought he was setting up to be very special. then you go to South Carolina, which I thought the strike zone was called so tight in two games that it just led to that explosion in offense for and against A&M. I thought that you just had to mix one into the strike zone. There wasn't any other way around it. And I thought that that kind of set him back a little bit. And, you're sitting there waiting for game three. He was going to start game three against Ole Miss. The rain comes. So you really didn't get to see if it really was South Carolina was an outlier or if the previous week was, you know, kind of that he had caught fire and that was going to be it. I think you saw that he definitely gives A&M a number two option when you're talking about it, you know, the regional and hopefully super regional play is you've got a guy there coming off of, I know it's not against the same team, but coming off some velocity that Grayson Long is going to roll out there. That sets well for the future because he pitches and he pitches. I mean, he can go to 88, 80, 89, maybe he can top it sometimes, but he hadn't done that all year. He's been working 85, 86, excellent command, and I think that this is the guy we saw, maybe got worn down a little bit. And then Ryan Hendricks had been so good in the bullpen when they moved in the starting role and his three of his first five starts, he was outstanding. You thought you had to find another role. Now they switch back, and I think both guys are pretty comfortable in their new positions.
Let's talk a little bit about the significance of yesterday's victory. Don't put a lot on the one victory, because if A&M would have lost, then a lot of people say, well, it's just one game. But the national people I've been reading all year, they kept saying, I kind of felt they expect Vanderbilt to kick it in at some point. And I understand it. Vanderbilt was the defending champ. Fulmer, they got a great pitcher, got some great hitters. But they've had some struggles throughout the year. If you look at their schedule, they've had some midweek problems. They've lost some games like everyone does. You lose games you shouldn't. But I thought yesterday was another eye-opener, and the fact is maybe Vanderbilt is not as good. This is me talking as some people think, and then maybe A&M is a little bit better than some people think. What did you think of the significance of yesterday's game, or was there any for you?
I think there was. I think you're right about midweek. It put some focus back on A&M being able to handle their business in midweek at a high, high level. Vanderbilt lost to Belmont in midweek. They lost to Lipscomb in midweek. They just lost games in midweek that you didn't think they were going to run into trouble. And when you start having those midweek losses, you get to this time of the year, instead of sitting at 45 wins like A&M is, you're down at 40. And you've got to, you know, you're not normally going to win all your midweek games, but that's two or three games right there, and that's got a pretty significant impact. Now, one of the things about, Vandy, and everybody knew this year how good they were on their pitching staff-wise, 1, 2, and 3, they could run three guys out there that were going to be pretty special. Saw yesterday how good Carson Fulmer is. He was the SEC Pitcher of the Year. That's the first time, really, he'd been lit up all year long. But then Walker Buehler, who's going to start for them today, was another Team USA guy that was a 14th-round pick of the Pirates 2 years ago, 3 years ago. This guy was special in his own right. So they could run two guys out there that you figure were going to do a lot of damage. They just gave away some games in midweek. They did start playing better as the season went along. But I think, they lost 2 or 3 to Florida at home. That kind of put a chink in their arm, but they bounced back. 1, 2 out of 3 against Alabama and beat Louisville in a pretty big game in midweek as well. So it looked like they were rolling again. Now, I thought, quite frankly, they were going to lose to Missouri 2 days ago.
And,
They should have, but they didn't. That's a sign of a good team when you win when you should have. So, have they rode the wave? Yes, but I also didn't pitch their number one guy against Missouri, and that had a big factor in it when they go to their Tuesday guy, and they'd struggle on Tuesday. So they rolled the dice a little bit, then expected to get the Carson Fulmer they've seen almost all year long against A&M, and be 2-0 and sitting pretty with Walker Buehler on Saturday to win one game and go to the SEC championships.
Okay. Can, in your 64-team bracket and your 8 national seeds, can Vanderbilt still get a top eight seed?
If they win the SEC tournament, I think they might. But I also think that's going to come at the expense of Florida. I think A&M is locked in now. I think that A&M's overall, they're going to be top 5 or 6 RPI, no matter what happens, win or lose. Vandy beat them. I think A&M wouldn't drop more than one because of their strength of schedule all year long. That only helps them when they play Vandy more than it hurts them. And I think that A&M locked their way in. They've shown, you know, everybody was worried about their last 10 games. Well, you know, they're still going to be 7-3 in their last 10 games, no matter what happens. So they've played okay at the end of the year. They kind of erased a couple of those doubts. They beat one of the teams that they didn't see on the other side of the bracket. They're in. Florida, you know, at the most, the SEC is going to get three. I think with the struggles that TCU's run into, Dallas Baptist has run into, they're walking the fine line. Florida on the other side, if they were able to upset LSU and it was a Florida, you know, Vanderbilt final, that might be a different story and that might cost A&M. I just don't think that's going to be the case.
Scott, Cease and I were talking about seeds, national seeds, earlier this week in the office, and this may be something, Cease, you've talked about on air some, but, you know, Cease made the point, and I mean, this seems kind of obvious, but it's true. You know, we make such a big deal about hosting, but maybe the bigger deal we should make is what kind of team you have, and, you know, not so much the hosting. I mean, clearly everybody wants to be at home. I mean, that's a no-brainer, but the fact that A&M did what they did yesterday, and you know, we don't want to make too much out of one game, but to do what the hitters did early against the SEC's best pitcher, and then to get a performance out of Matt Kent like you got, plus knowing that Matt Kent isn't going to have to pitch for another week, his next start's going to be in the NCAAs, and if that goes well, you know, and all things go well, he won't have to pitch again until the Super Regionals. If he's as good as that, the fact that A&M, you know, is, well, I guess what I'm getting to is they're peaking now to the point where I'm not sure whether they host or not is nearly as big a deal as the fact that it looks like they're getting back to being the team they were maybe earlier in the season.
Well, I can agree with that. But, the residual is they get to host.
Right.
That you can go to this tournament. You can, you know, now they can only lose one more game. That's a big key. It's not double elimination.
Well, and they're five right now, two in the RPI.
Right,
so
but you don't stretch your pitching out. You don't,
right.
You know, it's you either win against Vanderbilt or you're done, or you win that game and you roll your dice in the championship game with whoever you got. You're not going to overtax your pitching staff. There are some things that can happen, you know, in the Big 12 tournament right now. If Texas loses the next game, and then they have to have a what-if game, and then they have to go to the Big 12 championship game to win to actually get in, then you're talking about, you know, you had to use six pitchers in a period of about 5 days. How does that affect you the next week? A&M's not going to be in that position
right.
Because of, you know they know they're in one and done. The rest of the way out, you either win or you lose. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. You don't have to worry about having, you know, four pitchers deep that I've got to hold somebody back. For a what-if game in a championship scenario, none of that applies anymore. They throw Andrew Vinson on Saturday. If it's good enough, you can bridge the gap to the bullpen. If he's a four-inning guy, then you feel good about your chances. And then, you know, you roll out whoever you want on Sunday, and you're playing with house money.
Okay, Scott, before I let you go, I'm with you. I think A&M is locked in a top eight seed. That being said, in your crystal ball, what region do you think A&M will be matched up with? Who's because, you know, we mentioned about Dallas Baptist and TCU struggling. Do you think they're going to try to stay in state or go bring somebody else in?
Well, I think there's going to be four regionals in the state. TCU, Dallas Baptist, Houston, and A&M. A&M's going to be matched up with one of those. LSU's probably going to be matched up with the other. That way you're going to eliminate some of the representation in this part of the country.
Correct.
I also think that if there are three SEC teams that host, I mean, that are super regional teams, they're going to be 1-4-8, or they're going to be 2-3-7.